I am independently wealthy, and I know it. I'm independently wealthy, and I know it. This is something that most people don't know. Every person on the face of the earth is independently wealthy. They have at their thought anything they want, anytime they want it. All the money in the world. They have all the goods in the world, every experience in the world, every love in the world, every joy in the world, and everything else in the world as they wish it. And do they wish it? Apparently not. Because they're experiencing, so to speak, other things. Why do people experience other things when they say they want to experience only happiness, harmony, wealth, peace, joy, wholeness, and all that sort of good stuff? Why do they say it? Why do they say it? Well, all of us have been little children at one time in our life. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. And as little children, we were taught not to be pompous, prideful, superior, and things like that. We were taught not to do these things because to do these things, which is all right, to do these things, we are not pleasant to be with. I'm better than you are. I got a better grade than you did. I got a richer daddy than you have. I have a smoother mother than you have. Just look at my mother. Everybody whistles at her, you know. See, all those men come visiting in our house, they come to say hello to my mother, you know. And isn't that wonderful? And every time you talk pompous like that, you get yourself in trouble. But no. We have taught our children to say that. But we haven't taught them to say, I am God. I am all. I am independently wealthy. I am happy. I am harmonious. I am joyful. We haven't taught our children to say these things because that's being pompous. That's being superior. Well, if a child is a genius on the piano, and you say, my child is a genius on the piano, no one thinks a thing about it until they hear your child play. And when they hear your child play, they say, oh, your child is a genius on the piano. You know, what you said is true. Or, if that's what a genius on the piano sounds like, I don't think I want to be a genius. But we teach the fact is a fact. You are a girl, and you are a boy. And you are girls here. Now, is that something pompous? The pompous part comes when you deny who you are. You deny that every thought you think manifests into something in your life. And when you say that I am something, and you say that I am happy, for instance, and then you go around with a glum look on your face, you're belying what you're saying. But that's okay. You can say, I am happy when you're glum, because this helps you get started in thinking about being happy. Now, if you act as though you are, and you will be, that sort of philosophy, there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. We talked the other day about associating with people who reflect what your philosophy is, what type of thinking you do, and that's true. Now, I am independently wealthy and I know it. How does that phrase work? That phrase works purely and simply that we remain consistent with the thought. Who wants to give me the thought? I am independently wealthy. We want to remain consistent with the thought, I am independently wealthy. Remain consistent with the thought, I am independently wealthy. Remain consistent with the thought, I am independently wealthy. If you go to the store, don't say, I can't afford that, and I can't afford that, and I wish I could afford that, and man, someday I'm going to do that, and someday I'm going to buy this. That is not being independently wealthy. Independently wealthy, you select the things that are important to you right now, and you enjoy them right now. What is important to you right now? What values do you have that are important to you? Let's say that you're Robinson Crusoe and you're lost on a desert island. What's important to you? Something to eat. And the weather is very pleasant, so you're not too worried about something to wear. And something to drink. So, where are you going to find something to eat and something to drink? You listen within and you say, food. There's no grocery store here. And my mother isn't here to tell me what I should buy. So, Those nuts up on the tree, they probably are good to eat. Nuts are usually good to eat because inside the nuts are usually good stuff, you know. So he gets a nut, and it's a coconut. He tries to crack it. And it's not easy. Pounds it on a rock. He does all sorts of things. And then he says, well, it's, you know, how does a chicken get out of an egg? You see, you got brains. A chicken has a sharp beak, and it clicks on the inside of the eggshell until it breaks and then comes out. So if I got a sharp stone and just kept tapping on one spot, pretty soon I'd break through. Because that's just the way it is, you know. If you take a piece of metal and you bend it enough, pretty soon you break a piece of metal that you couldn't do otherwise. So you have a piece of even steel, and you bend it up, you bend it down, you're tired. 2 days later, you bend it up, you bend it down. You go on this for a week or so. Pretty soon, the tensile strength that steel gives, and it begins to break. Patience, 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 but you can do it. You can do it. It may take a little effort, a little time, but you can do it. So you take that coconut, and you take some sharp-pointed stone from the seashore or somewhere, and you keep chipping at it. The stone falls apart. But you keep chipping on it. And you keep figuring it out. And you keep figuring out how to get into that coconut. But while you're figuring that out, because you're hungry, you're going to look at some of the other trees that have growing things on them, some of the other plants. And you're going to say, this plant seems to get fatter as it goes in the ground. I wonder if it's a tubular plant, one that will have food on it. And so you pull out the plant and it has a big tube on it. You think, well, now that root probably is good to eat. So you clean it off, you wash it off in whatever water you have, the ocean water or whatever, and then you break it in half, you taste it. Not bad. A little dry, you know, but it's good. That's base, you know, saline and base. And so it's a little base, but you taste it and you say, it's not bad, it's kind of good. And so then you say, I wonder. So you dip it in the ocean water, and it gets a little bit of moisture on it, a little bit of salt, and say, that tastes pretty good, you know, and you go for it. And pretty soon you find all these things. Now, you are independently wealthy. You are independently wealthy. You have coconut trees loaded with coconut. You merely have to know how to get in and get the coconut out. You have to know how to get in the bank. You have palm trees that have date palms, coconut palms, date palms. And so you bring down the dates. And then you have banana trees. You know what banana trees are. And you don't take all the bananas off at one time. You just take as many as you're going to eat because you leave them up there for storage. That way they stay fresh and nice. And so you eat these bananas. And that's your store. Now, this is your storehouse. Little by little, you figure these things. You're independently wealthy. Now, if someone said to you, you're independently wealthy, lost on a desert island, you'd say, you've got to have rocks in your head, you know? But to be independently wealthy is to serve yourself with all the things that delight you and fulfill you. Now, true. Being lost on a desert island, the things that delight you and thrill you are a little different than it would be at another location. But that part's okay. Now, if you were in town, you'd have a beautiful Cadillac and drive around in it, and that's very pleasant. But out on a desert island, if you had a Cadillac, what good would it do? It'd just be a hot box. And probably the battery would be down. You couldn't open the windows, so you had to open the door and leave that open. And, you know, so you might as well make something that's designed for just what you're doing. You're fortunate not to have a Cadillac on a desert island. You're fortunate not to have a lot of people-made things on a desert island. Because then what you do is you make a nice cuddle into the sand and you put a palm fronds there or whatever you put there to make it nice and spongy and you just lay down there and go to sleep just like an angel. And pretty soon, there's nothing to worry about. You don't have to be your brother's keeper. You don't have to concern yourself with what somebody else is doing or what the condition of the world is or the war that's going on. And you say to yourself, okay, I'm here. Let's make the best of it. And so you make the best of it. Well, here you are living in a human life. Now, are you saying, I'm going to make the best of it? Or are you going to say, I want what other people have, and I want this, and I want that? Or are you going to look at what you have and say, this is beautiful. I have a beautiful body. I have a beautiful mind. I have a beautiful place that I'm living. I have beautiful people around me. I have enough to eat, clothes to wear. I can go to the library anytime I want, read books. I can go walking anytime I want and jog. I can even go to the neighbor and use their horse without any cost to me, which is pretty nice, you know. I don't have to raise the horse, take care of the horse, curry the horse, feed the horse, have the horse treated by the veterinarian and do all the things that you have to do when you have a horse, and or a dog, or a cat, or a baby, or anything. And here you are independently wealthy and independent of any responsibility. Just the responsibility to get joy out of life. Well, if we would learn to say, I'm independently wealthy, and know it, and know it by adding things up in our blessing book, which say every moment of the many, many things that we are blessed with, the many, many things that we are so happy with, the many, many things that we are independently wealthy about. What are we independently wealthy about? Are we independently wealthy about the telephone ringing here? We sure get enough rings out of it, didn't we? I always say, when you're going to have a talk here for just 15 minutes, the least we can do is have the telephone set on the table right next to us and pick it up, click, and it's off. And then go and talk if you wish. But that's not important. So we don't do things like that. And we're not independently wealthy to enjoy the things we want to enjoy. When you're independently wealthy, you have everything at your fingertips. Everything is there for you to enjoy. Everything is there for you to get great happiness out of. Everything. And you can be having all these things and saying, I am not wealthy. Because I don't have this or I don't have that. Because my mother died. Because this happened or that happened. You could say, I am not happy. And that's your choice. And many people go around the world saying they have nothing. One woman we know who's very wealthy, she saves coupons. What is she saving the coupons for? She owns a number of big properties, you know, on which she pays taxes, and she's not living on all these properties. She may visit them from time to time, but she's not living there. But the little bit she saves on clipping coupons is just a little something that came from her childhood when she probably didn't have much money. And she remembered her poverty days. Let it go. Let your poverty days go. There were days when you didn't have money and now you do. There were days when you didn't have a big adult body and now you do. There were days that you didn't have a happy attitude and now you do. Let go of those things of the past. They don't belong to you anymore. They have no purpose in your life. Let go. You're independently wealthy and you're independently wealthy right now. You're independently wealthy and you know it. Are you ready to know that? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to experience everything independent wealth means to you? You don't have to be on the desert island, but the desert island simile is a very good one. Because there, nobody can give you anything. Oh, someone can be living there and give you of their largesse, give you of their larder, give you of their life, of their pantry and what have you, but that doesn't make you happy. What makes us happy is when we do it for ourselves. When we listen to that inner wisdom and we reap the harvest of listening. When we reap the inner listening which says, I hate me, I don't like me, I'm sad, that's an easy one. But when we reap the listening of, I like me, I love me, I'm independently wealthy, and I know it. When we reap the harvest of that, wow. Our life is just filled with every joy we could ever wish. And when? Right now. But only right now, if we're consistent. If one minute we say I'm independently wealthy, the next minute we say we're not, then we're not anything. We're not independently wealthy, and we're not independently wealthy. It's just like you're going to inherit $100 million, and you have to wait. You're independently wealthy. It's yours. But you can't spend it until the will is probated. And so you're sitting there for weeks or days or months waiting for your money. You're independently wealthy, but you can't touch it. You know it's there. And then you say, I guess I'll never get it. And what happens? Another heir comes along and says, I am a closer heir than you are. You didn't know I was still alive. I get all the money. Ha, 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 ha. You should have had the probate a little faster. But you see, if you're going to doubt, the strangest things can come along and rout you out. And if that's what you want, then be dualistic. Otherwise, be single-pointed, saying, I'm independently wealthy and I know it. Proffering your service. What does that mean, proffering your service? When you go look for a job, you're proffering your service to your employer. You're saying to your employer, I'm offering you my talent, my genius, my abilities, my interest, my personality, my dynamic being, myself, everything about me, I'm yours. You just pay me a salary at the end of the month and I'm yours. I will do anything you want me to do. And the boss says, super. Now, if anyone ever really preferred their service in such a way to their boss, they would soon be president of the company. Because there'd be no task that anyone would look upon that was beneath them. There'd be no task that was above them, beyond them. Every task would be equal to their natural ability to flow with it and do it wonderfully, easily, smoothly, and perfectly. Now, like Anita, when I said, bring the tractor up, and she says, I'll do it. Okay. And then show me how to run it. Beautiful. Who could say that was incorrect in any way? And so we showed her how to do it, and she did it. Made a little mess out of it the first couple of feet, but after that she got into it. But hey, yes, hey, she got into it, and she did it real nice. Now, are you willing to do anything that is there to be done? Are you willing to see things to be done and do them? Or are you going to wait and let somebody else do it? Are you going to be like the normal human being, which is the 99 and 99/100th percent human being, that says, never volunteer for anything. For if you volunteer for anything, you're going to be thought to be an easy mark. You're going to be thought to be a bootlicker. You're going to be thought to be someone who is not top dog. But every single one of us, of you, of them, of the world, when they applied for a job, they were a bootlicker. What do you want me to do, sir? I know how to type. I know how to write. I know how to keep books. I know how to sweep the floor. I know how to do whatever you want me to do. What do you want me to do? You know? Well, with your talent, I'm going to have you do what you do the best. I'm going to use your talents to the best. I'm going to have you make gold out of ordinary metals. And you say, well, did you say you could do that? Yes. Then go to it. Go to it. What do you need to do it? I'll get it for you. Oh, boo, 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 boo. You don't do that. When you say to your boss you can do anything, and then he asks you to make gold out of base metal, you say, yes, sir. And what do? You go to the alchemist, you go to Mickey Mouse and the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and you find out how they do it. You go to Mandrake, Merlin, or whoever there is that's a magician, and find out how. You go to the alchemists at in Prague, Czechoslovakia, at Charles University, and you ask them, and they'll tell you. You go to the scientists, and the scientists will tell you. What will a scientist tell you of how to make gold? You transmute the chemical formula of the metal to the chemical formula of gold, and then you have gold. To transmute the chemical formula takes so much electricity, so much power, so much energy, that it'd be cheaper to go out and get some real gold and just buy it on the market. It's cheaper to buy real gold on the market than it is to manufacture it. But it is done and can be done. The point I'm making here, when you're proffering your service, when you're offering your service, when you're offering yourself for any job, for any activity, anything in the world, you give yourself 100% to it. You give yourself fully to it without any question of whether you can do it or not. Because really, you're not supposed to know everything. You can know everything, but you'd have a very busy mind if you allowed yourself to think of everything. But what you do is you concentrate on one thing at a time. Now, when you concentrate on it, you really do know it, and you find out all about it. I could tell you the whole story of how to make gold, what sort of power units that are needed, what sort of electrical circuitry that's needed, how much of the original metal is needed to transfer it over into the gold metal, and how long the energy has to be in there to transmute it. How can you transmute something to something else?
You change its chemical components.
You change its chemical composition. And how do you change its chemical composition? You can do it with great energy, or you can do it with your thought. The alchemists did it with their thought. Now, golly, if you can do it with your thought, why do it with great energy? Great energy costs so much money. Well, thought costs money too. Thought costs a great deal of money to keep your thought one-pointed on whatever it is you want to do. Now, if you want to create metal into gold, are there other ways? What is metal? Metal is a combination of energy of atoms. What would you say mercury is? Mercury is a metal. What kind of metal?
Like liquid.
Liquid metal, yeah. Under different circumstances. Mm-hmm. All right, what is iron?
Metal.
Mm-hmm. And what does iron do? Iron is just made up of iron. It has its own element, element. But it is so many pieces, so many atoms of this, and so many atoms of that, and so many atoms of the other thing, which help to make it up, because it does have a composition. Anything other than a pure atom is a compound. And so all the pure elements, as they call them, are compounds too. They have to be. Because there's only one pure essence, and that's an atom. Mm-hmm. And the atom is an atom that has one proton or two, one nucleus, one electron surrounding it. See, and what makes the difference? And how do these atoms sometimes merge and develop themselves into being other things? Well, thought. The original word was, God spoke his word and said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be animals, and there were animals. Now, the animals are complex. First, you have to create atoms. Then, after you create atoms, then you have to create atoms in minerals and vegetables and foods and other things like that. Then you create atoms into animals. And in animals, they have bloodstream, and they have all these neat things going on inside them. But when you think of a little love with his little tiny head, you know, the miniature poodle,
A mini pin.
A miniature pincher. But he's not a pincher because he was made before the pinchers were made. But he's a mini pin, and he has a little tiny head. It's a brain that's probably no bigger than a marble. And yet that brain helps him to do all sorts of things. He wrestles with the other dogs. He makes sure that his food is protected when he's eating it. He goes and steals from Button whenever he's done eating his food, and he leaves the part of the food he doesn't like. He leaves the vegetables, so to speak, and he goes and sees if Button's finished all of his meat already. And if he hasn't, he grabs it, and Button lets him take it. But Button must have a brain, too, to let him do this and not be disturbed. Button is getting plenty of food, and after they've eaten their treat, then they go to their big food dish, their normal food dish, and they eat. And where do they get the brain for this? Where do they get the intelligence for this? Where does it all come from? It comes from a very dynamic series of activities. But let's just talk about a base material, like iron, like gold, like mercury, like aluminum, like all these other substances that have an essence to them. We haven't fully discovered what makes them. We, in fact, had a difficult time breaking them down to find out what their other composition is. And insofar as it was of no value, no one has spent a great deal of research and money on it. But when we do break it down, we'll find that it's probably the simplest thing in the world, the simplest composition in the world. Because what is hydrogen? Is hydrogen something? And what is oxygen? That's something. You put the two together and you have hydrous oxide, or you have water, H2O. And it just depends. Now, can you put any hydrogen with oxygen and get that? You have to have hydrogen that has two what? Neutrons, protons, electrons. It has to have, I believe, the two protons in it. Because that, look, you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that it's described. It's not two hydrogens. It's hydrogen that has two portions of its own element within it. Now, where do you get that? Some people say it's two hydrogens, and that is one theory. And the other theory is that it has two protons within it. Now, fascinating. Who thought these things up in the first place? Who came up with all these ideas in the first place? Who gave all these ideas meat? Well, you did. And if you offer your services anyplace, and all of you have offered your services here at the monastery, and what is it that you're offering your services to do? Ellen, say it very quickly.
We must have enough time.
What is it you have offered your services to do here at the monastery?
Everything you asked.
To do everything you are asked to do without any question, without any hesitation. You are asked to be yourself and have fun, but to do what you are asked to do. Why are you asked to do the things here?
Because they're fun.
You're asked to do these things because they help you develop self-discipline of yourself. They help you develop self-confidence in yourself. They help you to develop within yourself the ability to know what you can do and do it well. And in the process, you have fun. But it is an idea that this is a tool not to help you be yourself and have fun. If you don't know how to be yourself and have fun, you don't belong here. Because everything we do here is being yourself and having fun. John is working his tail off on the waterfall over there. You think so?
Mm-hmm.
He is not.
No, I'm being...
He's having a ball. He is creating. He's being very imaginative. He is using his imagination, saying, let's see now, how would I do this? Now, how would I do that? And he has nobody telling him what to do, except Ellen occasionally. And virtually everything he has come up with has been his own idea, his own thought, his own imagination. Do you think that he is being fulfilled by doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's gaining self-discipline in doing it, in trusting himself, in trusting the thoughts that come to his mind, that they are really good and worthwhile thoughts, that they will be appreciated? Do you think that he feels confident in himself doing the job that he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Anita gets out in the kitchen, what do you think she's doing? Is she a slave, a scullery maid? Is she some stupid person who has to work out there because, I can't do anything else but that? No. She gets out there because she's a genius. And she is using her imagination to make every single dish come alive with beauty and light. John is picking that up too, or vice versa, or together. But each one of you, right? You're using imagination. You could put splash, 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 splash like they do in the Navy, you know. You go to throw on a cup of this, a cup of that, a cup of the other, you know. And who's going to eat a cup of this, some of this stuff? And some of this stuff isn't worth eating in the first place. But you take it, and after a while, you learn to talk with your friends while you're eating, so if you don't know what you're eating. And then, when you're done eating, you take it over to the wipe-off place, and you wipe it off into the garbage can, and the garbage can keeps going like this here with food that people don't eat, that people have not eaten. And then you put your tray in the tray area, and it goes in to be scrubbed for the next guy to come along. But you create gourmet dishes, gourmet foods. And when people look at it, they think, wonderful, you're preferring your services in a very glorious way. And Sylvia, she says, I think the abbot should do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I say, Sylvia, if I allowed you to do this and this and this and this and this and this, you soon would be up a tree. I let you do little things first so that you can be happy doing the little things. Just step by step. And pretty soon you move on into all the other stuff. But why trouble yourself with doing more than you're asked to do? Do just what you're asked to do, but do it well, and then the more stuff will be added to you when you find it very easy doing what you're doing. Does that make sense? It should make a lot of sense, because nobody's trying to take work away from you or anybody else. If I change jobs for one of you and I put you in another chore, you don't say, well, did I do something wrong? Did I make a mistake? Yes and no. What was the mistake?
Asking if you've done something wrong.
That's exactly right. The mistake was doubting that you didn't do everything right. Not knowing that you did everything right. Did you do everything to the best of your ability? You bet. I don't have people here who don't give the best of their ability. And so therefore, when you prefer your services, you prefer them 100%. And you give them with all your love and all your joy and all your harmony. And then greater things shall be added unto you. You not only make the meals, but you'll scrub the floors, and you'll type the papers, and you'll write the gist, and you'll do a column in the gist, and so forth. And with that, so much for proffering your services. I love you.